From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews as he brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Report Card of the Faithful, based on verse 39 of the chapter. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, God Above Human Philosophy. The text is 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. This verse is a threatening so far as the worldly wise are concerned, but to the simple believer it is a promise. The professedly learned are forever trying to bring to nothing the faith of the humble believer, but they fail in their attempts. Their arguments break down, their theories fall under their own weight. Their deep-laid plots discover themselves before their purpose is accomplished. The old gospel is not extinct yet, nor will it be while the Lord liveth. If it could have been exterminated, it would have perished from off the earth long ago. We cannot destroy the wisdom of the wise, nor need we attempt it, for the work is in far better hands. The Lord Himself says, I will, and He never resolves in vain. Twice does He, in this verse, declare His purpose, and we may rest assured that He will not turn aside from it. What clean work the Lord makes of philosophy and modern thought when He puts His hand to it! He brings the fine appearance down to nothing. He utterly destroys the wood, hay, and stubble. It is written that so it shall be, and so shall it be. Lord, make short work of it. Amen and amen.
Immortal, invisible, our God only wise, enlightened, accessible, that's hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Immortal, invisible, God.
great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it.
Thank you.
As he continues these studies in Hebrews chapter 11, Dr. Cairns is now dealing with verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith. That which characterized all of the Old Testament saints in the chapter, whether named or not, may be summed up in the words, by faith. As the progress of school children is indicated in their report cards, so the spiritual condition of Christians in every age is marked by clearly identifiable attributes. The very first and indispensable characteristic of true Christians is that they are a saved people. Then believers are a singular people. They have different values and desires from the world around them, for they're seeking to please God. In addition, God's people are serving people. Once a person comes to know Christ as his Savior, there's implanted within him a desire to serve the Lord. Furthermore, believers are submitted people. By faith, they receive God's word and obey it with full trust in the Lord who gave it. As we'll see today, Christians are a suffering people. For those who follow Christ will suffer persecution. But God's people are also a sustained people, for God has promised never to forsake his own. Now to continue this message called The Report Card of the Faithful, here is Dr. Cairns.
Very often Ephesians 5 is used to butter wives over the head. Must have very thick bones up there because it doesn't get through an awful lot. But you know, Ephesians 5, contrary to what most people think, was not written to teach wives to be in subjection. It was written, and of course this is a very, very different thing, it was written that all Christians should learn, verse 21, that they are to be submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And that's a very different thing from isolating the wife and saying, you be in submission. Now, the wife should be in submission to her husband, as unto Christ. But you know, the fellow who is not submitted to Christ himself, the fellow who shows no spirit of submission, no spirit of subjection, no spirit of humility, no spirit of the knowledge of God, or the fear of God, or fellowship with God, he's going to have a hard job convincing anybody that even the dog should be in submission to him. Do I make it clear? Maybe sinful when women get out of place. But it's no less sinful when men get out of place. Ephesians 5 is written that we should all learn that the mark of the child of God is a mark of submission. And I want to tell you, if you're submitted to Jesus Christ and you're subject to Christ's word, to Christ's will, to Christ's glory, if you're submitted, there's nothing that's going to cost you too much. Hurt your flesh, hurt your pride. Cut you down to size. Yes. But you'll count that all joy. Because it's only when you die that the life of Christ is seen in you. And it's only when you submit that the kingship of Christ is seen in you. You see, the spiritual truth is the lower you get before God, the higher you get in usefulness and Christ-likeness and service. You try to get big, you're nothing. You lose your life in order to gain it. But if you try to hold on to your life, you lose it. That's the logic of the Holy Ghost. Faith allows a person to submit, because I know my Savior does all things well. And if he makes no mistakes, and his will and way are perfect, then I can say with the psalmist, he maketh my way perfect. Obey him. Faith then bears witness, as we have seen in the last couple of Sunday mornings, that they are a suffering people. If you're going to live by faith, be aware that you're going to pay the price. For instance, take this matter of submission. If a wife is subject to her husband as unto the Lord, she's the butt of every joke and jest from a worldly mind, and not only from the world, but from a bunch of carnal Christians, at least professing Christians.
If men show a meek and quiet and submissive attitude to their God and to the people of God, they're counted weaklings. Meekness is weakness in the eyes of the world. You'll suffer for it. And of course, there's the greater suffering that we have looked at in these past Sabbath mornings. The path of faith is always the path of the cross. Jesus said, and this is still the standard of discipleship. Zane Hodges has written a book to disprove it. Charles Ryrie has written a book to disprove it. Curtis Hudson has written articles to disprove it. And they're all barking up the wrong tree, to use an old-fashioned expression. They're wrong, dead wrong. Perverting the notion of grace. They want to say that you can be a disciple without coming to terms with the very standards Christ set. Jesus said, if you will not take up your cross, you cannot be my disciple. One would have thought that that was absolutely plain. One would have thought that Christian preachers would rather have torn their tongue out than to come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ did not preach the gospel. But that effectively is the place you've got to arrive at if you're denying that Jesus Christ is stating what the gospel is here. We're filling our churches with people who say, I believe. But it's a belief that produces nothing. They're unwilling for the lordship of Christ. They're unwilling for the cross of Christ. Now, the mark of the people of God, Psalm 110, verse 3, is thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. When God the Holy Ghost regenerates people, the first thing is he makes them a willing people. And instead of the cross being an imposition, they glory in the cross. What did Paul say? God forbid that I should glory. God forbid that I should boast. Except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. A suffering people, but a sustained people. Faith tells them that. The lovely verse that I leave with you, you've heard it many times in Deuteronomy 33 and 27. Part of it, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. These people have the testimony of faith that God never leaves his people alone. Now, some of you are going to walk through rough pathways this year. Some people in our church have already trodden tough ways already in 1990. Some are going to walk by a very, very difficult way. The burdens at times are going to be very heavy. The trials are going to be very, very sore. The opposition that some of you are going to bear from friends and loved ones, from workmates, from the devil himself at times, will appear to be overwhelming. But live by faith. And God will never forsake his people. Remember that lovely promise of the psalmist that the Lord has not forsaken them that trust him. You'll be sustained by the word of God. Whatever your problem, remember, the Bible has something to say about it. There's a place for human counsel. There's a place for human help. But you know, when people come to me, and I'm no paragon of expertness when it comes to what the world calls counseling. I don't like to call it counseling, to be quite honest. But I like to listen. And as I listen, I pray. And as I pray, I'm asking God for a word for that person
from this book. And that's it, you know. Because at the end of the day, my opinion's no better than yours. I may have more experience in an area, you may have more experience in another area. And obviously, you would hope that experience would have taught us all something. But at the end of the day, opinion is but opinion. What you need is the Word of God. You need direction from Scripture. And you know, this is a marvelous, wonderful book. I truly believe that we have got to get the exegetical and contextual meaning of Scripture when we go to study it. But I also know that God can use even a sentence, a word, just write up a line out of this book, lift it right out of its context, seal it to your heart by the Holy Ghost and give you direction. Now that doesn't make any sense to the scholars. That makes them tremble in their boots. Man, you're taking the Bible out of context. I'm not taking the Bible out of anything. I'm simply saying that the Holy Ghost can take a line of Scripture to impress upon your heart what He would have you do. I have often, in prayer meeting, made the people laugh with an old retired missionary back in Northern Ireland. And that's exactly what God did for her. She had gangrene. The doctor said the leg has to come right off, or just below the knee, the foot part of the leg, coming off. She's lying in bed. The ambulance is just about to come. It comes, takes her away to the hospital. Day goes by, she's ready for surgery. That very day, the surgeon is going to do his work. But her other retired missionary sister is on her knees before God from the early morning, and she's crying to God for Emma. And as she comes to the Word of God with faith in her heart, God lights up a word from Scripture that made everybody roar with laughter. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Up she runs to the hospital. The preparation for surgery is underway. She says, "Stop it all." The doctor says, "You're crazy." She says, "I'm not crazy." "You stop it." She says, "Emma, the Lord has given me a word. He will not suffer your foot to be moved." And Emma said to the doctor, "On your way." She says, "You'll die from this. He'll not suffer my foot to be moved." She didn't have surgery. She kept not only her leg, but her life. Now that wasn't David's meaning. He wasn't thinking of amputation. But it was God's meaning to her. I don't mean to develop crankiness in God's people. And there's an awful lot of wishful thinking instead of faith among too many Christians. But I do say this, the Word of God is something to say to you. Don't let this Bible be a dead historic book. Don't let this Bible simply be a musty document from the past. Fundamentalists have too easily fallen into the trap of believing that God once inspired the Bible. Nonsense! The Bible was not inspired. The Bible is inspired. There's a world of difference. That word inspiration means the living nature of the Bible. When did it die? It never did. It was inspired, a living word when He gave it. It's still a living word today. Oh, if we will come to it in faith, we'll be sustained by the Word of God. We'll then see the working of God and we'll be sustained by that. We'll then have the witness of God, because our faith will not only witness to the Lord for us, it will witness to us about the Lord. And of course, through it all, remember this, there were things that they didn't get. They didn't see the great promises we'll see next week. There were things they didn't get, but they waited and they waited and they waited. And you'll be sustained by the Word of God, by the working of God, by the witness of the Lord in your heart as you wait upon the Lord. Oh, how we hate that. Why is God not a 20th century American? Why does God not realize that I need this yesterday? Why does God keep me waiting? I could give you various reasons. One very good reason is just to let you know that He is God. He's eternal. He's infinite. He's unchangeable. He's in control. He's not your puppet. His name is G-O-D, not D-O-G, to jump when you or I say so. He'll keep us waiting, that we may see Him is our chief joy, and not just what he has to do for us. A sustained people through waiting on the Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.